Coming up on this episode of the Sarlacc Pit podcast, we give you our favorite Yoda moments. We also got Disney Chief Bob Iger. We got new Episode 7 writers and a release date for Episode 7. And Darth Vader and the Dark Side on this week's Things That Make You Go, All that and more on this episode of the Sarlacc Pit podcast. It's a good one. And it starts right now.
Just got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful planet is
the almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All-powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts, Matt Krenke and Chris Hoffice Planet, for this round of discussions.
Welcome back, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit podcast. Wherever you are, we thank you for making us part of your day. The Sarlacc Pit is brought to you by GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, and we thank them for their support of the podcast. This is episode number 70 for November 9th. 2013. If you're new to the show, my name is Matt, your co-host, and let me bring in your co-host and creator of the Sarlacc Pit podcast, Mr. Chris Hop Ice Planet Smith. What's up, my friend?
Not much. I'm doing pretty good. This has been one heck of a trying to get a number 70 done, isn't it?
I know. We've had some guests fall off the wayside, but we finally just said, you know what? Let's get together. We got a great topic today. We're going to be talking our favorite Yoda moments in just a few minutes. But before we do that, let's see what's going on in the news. All right, Chris, I'll tell you what, it's been a crazy couple of days. We got some pretty good information coming. And I hope everybody's got their tents, their sleeping bags ready, because we are 769 days away, I think, Chris, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's accurate, 769.
Yes, we finally got confirmation. Star Wars Episode 7 coming to you December 18th, 2015. Bob Iger was on the news, Chris, talking about a couple things. And before we get to that, what's your first impression? December 18th. You know, the more I think about it, the more I'm pretty jazzed about it. What do you think?
Let's see. I'm jazzed that where you got a date. I'm jazzed it's coming, but I freaking hate it being in December.
Really?
Yeah.
You hate it being in December. Okay, tell me why.
This is going to sound, actually, this might not sound too weird to Star Wars fans, but I always schedule and take a vacation when Star Wars opens. So I have a week to just engorge myself in Star Wars. But coming in December 18th, it's kind of hard to get a vacation that time. I mean, I can probably take a couple of days, but I don't know. And then just another thing, just the classic kid in me is, nope, it's got to be in May. But, I mean, I understand it. I understand where they're coming from, but for me, it's got to be May.
Yeah, I know. That's one thing. A lot of fans are like, well, you know, you're getting away from the May, the classic release time for Star Wars. But I can understand where they're going. I mean, there's been some super blockbuster stuff going on in December months, Lord of the Rings, Avatar, to name a couple. So I think this is poised to really do some crazy, crazy numbers. I think it has a potential of knocking whether it's Avengers or Avatar, whatever one is the highest, I don't even know anymore, but it has the potential to bust out because December months, there's not a lot of like big time blockbuster stuff. I mean, there's some holiday stuff coming out and there's these little quirky, Academy Award type movies that come out sometimes in December.
Yeah.
But a blockbuster like this, man, this thing's going to dominate the holiday season. And, there's some reasons that I think that this happened, that it got pushed back to me, because I do think that it got pushed back. And Bob Iger was recently, just a few days ago, talking about the pushback to December and maybe some potential Disney attractions coming to the Star Wars theme parks. And let's hear what he has to say about that.
I'd planned to start with Earning, but then you guys had to release date for the new Star Wars film, December 18th, 2015. Tell us the backstory on how you decided to make that date.
Well, this is obviously one of the films that we're working on. And one of the things that was very important is that we give the creative team, J.J. Abrams and his writing team, the time to design, write, and produce the film so that we can optimize quality or so that we can create a great film, so they can create a great film. Very, very important. And at one point, we considered the summer of 2015. It felt like, particularly with some changes that we made in the writing team, that that was going to create a bit of a rush, and we didn't think that was optimal, for obvious reasons. So Christmas 2015 became the date. Happens to be the date that Avatar, which is the number one movie of all time, was released. So we like that. Certainly hopefully brings some good luck, even though that wasn't our film. And Christmas is a good time, we think, for a film like Star Wars, which will have obvious interest from, young people and old people alike, from everyone.
No doubt. And obviously these films help to be an anchor for other parts of the Disney empire. There's been so much discussion on blogs about the exciting things you referenced last quarter coming at Disneyland. Some people wondering if Tomorrowland becomes Star Wars Land. Anything new you can share on that front?
The only thing I can share, which actually I don't think we've really talked about much, is that there is a fair amount of development going on at Disney Imagineering right now to expand the Star Wars presence in California and in Orlando, and then eventually in other parks.
So here's Bob Iger, and he's talking about this switch to December, Chris. And, a week ago or so, we got the news that, and this is other big news, that Kasdan and JJ took over for Arn. So I don't think it's any coincidence that these two news stories kind of meld together. I think the reason that they had to push it back, because they are, they're letting Kasdan and Abrams take a crack at the script and do their thing to it. And it's just, they're not ready. They even pushed back the filming. We kept hearing January or, that time of frame for the start filming. Now it's got pushed back to, they said, March or spring or something like that, if I remember right. So I think all this kind of correlates together. But at any rate, it's coming out in 2015 in December. I think, like I said earlier, it's kind of bittersweet because we got to wait that much longer, but it's all right. It's December. But what do you think about, let's talk about this writing change too, that, Arndt is replaced and I think he did what he could do with it. But, I am stoked, man, to see Kasdan come in and kind of polish this thing up. I mean, he's the man behind some of the, Empire and Raiders and Return of the Jedi. And I know George Lucas had a lot to do with those scripts, and I think Kasdan just can come in and just give it that little bit that it needs. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I think that having JJ and Kasdan, and I mean, you bring Kasdan in, who worked on Empire, who worked on Raiders, and worked partly on Return of the Jedi, I believe. I mean, he knows how George wants it, what George wants. He knows how George thinks, because, we all know that he, argued, or not really argued, but maybe, he wanted to see different things, but he understood where George was coming from. And like he said, George knew what he wanted and he got what he wanted. So I think that's them two right there is this perfect combination, and I'm excited. Yeah, I can see the benefits to releasing it in December, but it's like I told Scoot last night, we kind of talked briefly about it. I said, oh, heck with it. Just push it back to May of 2016. That's what I'm thinking. But, I mean, I understand. I mean, that's going to be quite a thing come that December with Christmas and everything. And, yeah, I like the fact that I'm all for take your time, make sure it's done right. Star Wars has always taken 3 years to make a movie. And that's just kind of, hey, take all the time you need. Make it great. That's what I look forward to.
Yeah, we did have some we had some news that there were some rumors going around that it was going to get delayed until 2016, and those were all denied by Iger, and he said, no, we're going to get it done. But, you know, look at the original Star Wars. It was supposed to come out in December, and those delays pushed it back to May, and that's where we got our May release date for the rest of them. But, yeah, interesting stuff. You know, and like I said, I'm more excited about Kazan coming in than J.G. I don't know. I mean, I know what J.J.'s done with some of his movies and production TV stuff. I don't know how great of a story writer J.J. is, but I know what Kazan's done.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff that he fought for in Empire and Return of the Jedi, especially with Han Solo, I think he's going to be able to push that envelope a little more than with Disney than he could, or J.J. than he could with Lucas, maybe. So... yeah, I was definitely stoked about Kazan and Abrams. Yeah, whatever, that's cool. But I was more excited about Kazan. So
okay,
what else is going on in the news? Oh yeah, real quick, I know this has been going around a lot lately. This guy named Charlie Owen was, I think he was on eBay and found this Laserdisc that he bought. Had a ton of extra put. I mean, what kind of, how about a treasure chest that it is, man? Can you believe that? Just, obviously, he didn't know that was on there. I don't think that's the reason he bought it. He was buying it just to have a laser disc of this, of Return of the Jedi. So all this crazy new footage, extra stuff with Yoda and Luke and on Dagobah, and some interesting story elements to where it would totally change the way you look at some of the characters, especially Obi-Wan, and I know a lot of podcasts have been talking about it. There's a line where Yoda basically says, you know, I was the one that told Obi-Wan to tell you a lie about your father, you know? Mm-hmm. And while you talk about totally changing up the script and everything, that was a crazy line, and it ultimately didn't make it into the film, but it shows you kind of where the different places they were going with the movie. And I just thought that was, some of this footage is just really fun to watch, really cool extra stuff. And then when you look at the lines and where they could have went with it, Chris, you're talking totally different character developments and everything. So what do you think of the that footage you found?
I thought it was just fantastic to get to see something we've never seen before. And yeah, my thought process is, how did this exist in Lucasfilm not know about it? Or how did this person who sold this thing not realize what he had? But... yeah. That whole thing with Obi-Wan, that really does make him look, it really cements his character as he did what he had to do. Mm-hmm. That's how I always felt Obi-Wan was. Whether he liked it or not, he knew what he had to do and he did it. And Yoda kind of, like you said, Yoda on his deathbed takes a lot of that brunt off of Obi-Wan, says, hey, it was my fault. He told you what he told you because of what I told him to say. So,
right.
Yeah, that really did kind of, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it was quite, the scene, actually, when they played it, it looks really awkward, and you could tell that's the reason why they didn't use it, because Luke's kind of leaning in on him while he's talking, right. And I'm like, it just looked really uncomfortable from Luke's point of view doing that shot. So,
right.
That's,
right.
I think, is a lot of reason why they did, but anytime, it just shows how Star Wars fans are. Anytime we get a chance to see something we've never seen before from the original trilogy, everybody just goes nuts. It's like, oh my gosh, something new.
And yeah, if anybody hasn't heard about this yet, you know, he's got a Facebook page, lots of different clips have come out. He's kind of been piecemealing it. I think the whole half-hour footage finally made it out, if I saw correctly. Yeah. It's the same thing. But it's just amazing, Chris, that after over 3 decades... we're still getting stuff that we've never seen before. It's just it's just amazing how much stuff they had and they thought to, collect and categorize, mm-hmm. and save, you know.
Just think of how much more stuff Lucasfilm has that they haven't put out.
We know
from Steve Sansweet's comments in the past as fan relations that he was saying that they could probably never get, you know, all of it out there. He said there's just so many things whenever they'd come out with a new box set. I remember him making the comments once that they're just, believe me, there's plenty of stuff that we can have that'll be new. And, you know, so that's just So you know every time they could throw out a box set, they can always put a little something on there that they know has never been out. So
yeah, always going to be something new as far as extra footage and all that. And think about what they're going to do with this new trilogy. I mean, we're going to be places we've never done before. I remember the prequel trilogy, you know, we got tons of insight, hyperspace and all that, and the books and the magazines and the pictures and all that were coming out. I mean, that was just, I remember being glued to my computer just watching that stupid hyperspace cam waiting for something, you know. And most of the time it wasn't anything, but just the fact that you're just watching it, waiting for that one special nugget, you never know where you're going to see a part of them fighting or practicing, you know. It's just, oh, man.
I got a question for you now, since we're talking about this, you know, episode 7 and everything. Somebody had asked me on Facebook a few days ago, it says, are you more excited now for episode 7, 8, 9 than you were for episodes 1, 2, and 3? And I was like, well, you know, to be honest, not really. It said, for the simple fact of when episodes 1, 2, and 3 were coming up, I didn't know, I have a clue what to expect. You know, because we were kids when the original trilogy came out, so we didn't really see or firsthand necessarily all the little things that were going on as an adult. You know, as kids, we probably missed, but we did see a lot. And to me, I don't know, I was just like, well, I kind of know what to expect as far as what's going to be coming down the road, as far as things coming out and stuff like that. So I guess in a way, I'm really not as excited for episode 7 as I was for episode 1, just for that fact. And what do you think? How did, when I ask the question, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question, and I'm trying to think about it. Like, I remember just being totally, totally pumped up for the new for that prequel trilogy, and the hype machine around that. It's, I don't know, that's going to be hard to beat that. But and even though you kind of knew, like you said, you didn't know what the particulars of the story were. I mean, we kind of knew we were going back to see Anakin and see him grow up, but yeah, wow. I think in another thing too, that I'm kind of cautiously going into this, not to make myself so overhyped that I go in and just kind of let myself down. So I'm trying to harness my emotions a little bit and my excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Even when crazy stuff comes out, I see some of these fan posters, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to see a trailer. I can't wait to see pictures and where this is going to go. So, you know, you just have to kind of just pace yourself and not get just totally overexcited about things. And you go into the movie, and you'll be set for a good time. So,
and be able to go in and sit down when the movie's coming on and just be able to say, okay, this is Star Wars. It's new. Just soak it in.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to do that, though. It's going to be so hard, especially if you see it on opening day like we all are going to do.
Oh,
with our midnight crowd, it's going to be off the chain. It's going to be crazy.
That's always fun, yes.
Yeah, yeah. A couple other things before we get to our topic. Hey, you know, we've had two editions of the Star Wars Music Festival, and Chris, you wanted to update some folks on that if they were wondering about that?
Yeah, I want to apologize because I've been meaning to give out an update on the podcast, and I just keep, when it comes time to record, I forget to write it down, and we're recording, and I forget it. But obviously, it's in November, you know, we're into November, and so we're not going to do the annual music, Star Wars Music Video Festival this year, because I was kind of trying to restructure it a little bit, kind of make it a little more simplified, or, you know, I want to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to push it back till next year and see what happens. And because I've had a couple people that have contacted me and asked me about it. So I was like, well, I need to post something up here and let everybody know. And I'm sorry, I'm finally getting around to actually remembering it when we're recording. It's just, you know,
yeah,
one of those things.
Got to write it down. So, yeah, that's cool. I mean, like you said, just do a little tweaking and make it. We want to make it better. So we're just going to shut it down and kind of reformat and come back strong next year.
Yeah, cool. I got a couple of ideas that if I could get it to work right, it'll make it even better.
Yeah, that's what we want to do, keep making it better. Hey, also, for you iPhone and I guess Android owners as well, I don't know if it's Android, but Chris, you wanted to mention a new application.
Yeah, there was this, I got contacted earlier this year by this particular company called Plain Vanilla Corp. And they had contacted me, asking me, because they saw my trivia book, and they were asking if I'd be interested in doing trivia questions for an app that they were coming up with. And I checked it out, and I was like, well, sure. So I spent a few months working on specific trivia questions just for this app. And I will say that a lot of them are from the book. I tweaked some of the questions, you know, kind of reverse them sometimes, so that, you know, I just didn't want to copy straight. But anyway, it has now been released. The name of this app is called QuizUp. That's Q-U-I-Z-U-P, QuizUp, the largest trivia game in the world, and it's by Plain Vanilla Corporation. You can easily find it in iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search QuizUp, and it should pop right up. And this is particular. It's not just Star Wars trivia. It's trivia from all genres, movies, TV. They've got a ton of stuff. And the way it is set up, I don't know if any of you out there might have that app Song Pop, where you sit there and play against somebody. You're not just playing yourself. Mm-hmm. This particular game is set up the same way. You're playing against somebody else. It seems to be pretty straightforward and easy to set up. You can sign in with your Facebook, and then you can play various people from all over the world. And from what I can tell so far, it's only available for the products, iPhone, iPad, iPad Touch, iPhone Touch. I don't think it's yet ready for Android. I'm going to have to ask them and make sure. Maybe the Android might be in another location. I don't know. Can you get Android stuff through iTunes?
No, it has to be separate. But, you know, they always do Android. They always, they're usually right behind. If it's a popular game, they're going to go on board with the two for Android devices. So it should be around, I would say, within the next couple of weeks to a month or so.
That'll explain why it only said iPad and iPhone and stuff in iTunes. Okay, so you could probably just search it. You know, QuizUp, go to Google and do QuizUp phone app, and I'm sure it'll pop up for whatever you need.
Yeah.
Yep. And it looks to be absolutely fantastic. I sat down and played it a little bit, and I enjoy it. And our friend over at Yoda's News, Mark, he had was just texting me earlier today. He said, man, that is a great app. He said he started playing it last night. He was kind of addicted, started playing people. So it's very addictive. So, and it's free. And it's free to start with. I'm sure they've got upgrades and stuff, but initially it's free. Can't beat that.
Cool. Yeah, shoot. If it's free, it's me. You know what I'm saying? Especially if it's a quiz game. I like those quiz games. I like playing against other people. So is there like a Star Wars like category, I'm guessing?
From what I found, there's two different. There's Star Wars, and then there's Star Wars OT, and the OT is the one that I worked on.
Nice.
That's the one that I had. He wanted me to do the whole thing, and I said, well, it's kind of hard for me to do the prequel right now because past couple of years with the book, I've been focusing nothing on but the original trilogy, so that's where all my questions were. That's where my brain was. So I was like, it's going to take me a lot more time to do prequel. And so we agreed and we worked it out. So I only did the original trilogy. That's all of my work. I don't know, because I only played it a little bit, I'm assuming there's other people that did it. I don't think all of the questions are mine, but at Betteret, probably quite a few, most of the questions are mine.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Good. Can't wait to try that. I'm going to go download it right after the show. Love the quiz stuff. Hey, I tell you what, man, I got my 6-inch Black Series Wave 2, Chris. I know you just got yours too this last week. Came on the doorstep, opened it up right away, and another great set, great wave of 6-inch figures. I'm still highly impressed with this line. We were talking earlier, Chris, about this particular wave. Great wave. I think the only problem we did have is I think a lot of people have been commenting on is the Slave Leia. A tough figure to do in a 6-inch with all this articulation. It seems like it gets in the way. What do you think?
Yeah, that was my main thing when I saw it. And you could tell from the pictures as well. But if you look at the original pictures that they sent out, the skirt is different. The skirt is made a little more, looked to be a thicker, more fancy material than the one that they actually used. It still looks fine. But to me, I had made this comment when me and you were talking about it, the articulation lines just kind of, to me, which you cannot get away from doing it, but with her having mostly skin showing, it just looks weird. And I'm not too crazy about her hips. They look too big to me.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Of course, I'm going to do reviews for three of them. I'm not going to do the Boba Fett because the Boba Fett was already done from the exclusive version, and it's the exact same Boba Fett, so there's no point doing another one. But I'm going to do reviews for the other three. The Greedo looks really great, but to me the only drawback is you only get the little gun with it and you don't have anything else. But the Han is fantastic. To me, you've got two, the Boba Fett, because I've had that one before, and the Han. Those two are just absolutely fantastic. You know, the Han's got all the different, got two different hands, two different sets of hands, a couple of blasters, different belts. It's just fantastic, and I'm going to do a review for that one first, so check out Yoda's News. Hopefully here in the next week I'll have it, and we'll have it up. So
cool. Looking forward to that, yeah.
One thing I wanted to talk about is distribution, too, while we're on the 6-inch. I don't know how it is out there, but so far here, and I had talked to Mark about this as well, and he lives in around Pennsylvania, and I have yet to see a Walmart stock the 6-inch. None of the Walmarts here in my area that I've been into carry them. All they have is the 3 3/4 inch. They don't even have, I mean, they don't have any of the 6-inch. It doesn't make much sense. And of course, I'd mentioned before on the last show that I got a different job, so I'm not working at Target anymore, but I talk to Scoot all the time, and he's telling me that his Target now is completely full of the 6-inch, and they're all Wave 1, obviously, mm-hmm. And he says the entire shelf is full all the way back, which probably would mean at least 21, if not 24, sitting on the shelf, and then he said we've also got a bunch in the back room, so... I do not suspect, well, with it coming up on the holidays, I said, well, you know how that'll be. You'll get some Wave 2 coming in. But I would just suggest it might be could be up to another month before you can see them in a Target, depending on how your Target is, so.
Yeah, I noticed as far as Wave 1, I got mine shipped to me, through an online e-tailer, and they came real quick, and I didn't see them for a few weeks in stores, so I doubt you're going to see any right now of the Wave 2. Wave 1 is actually all over the place. I've seen them in mostly Targets, like you said. Walmart's a little sketchier. Toys R Us definitely had some.
Yeah, so, Toys R Us had some, yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's going to be, a couple more weeks until you start to see the Wave 2, right? In stores, I would think, yeah.
You know, the thing with Target and... Forgive me for saying this, but this is one way that Target sucks, is in the way they do it. You know, like I had mentioned before, we'd get in a case, bam, it'd be gone. Get in another case, it's gone. Another one, yeah. It's gone. Send them one at a time. Now, granted, they probably couldn't get that, you know, it was coming out, like we had mentioned, slowly. Now that they finally got enough, they can ship them out to the stores, and now the stores are sitting on them. But with it being the holidays, they'll get more, and they'll push more into the stores. So you'll have a good chance. If this was, you know, February, you could forget it. You wouldn't be seeing anything new for a while because the stores just have too many. But with it coming up on the holidays, you do have a good chance of getting in there and finding them. It just might, you know, like I had mentioned, it might take a few weeks before you actually see them. Toys R Us might be your best bet. I mean, have you seen 6-inch at any of your Walmarts?
No, I haven't, and I don't go to Walmart a lot, but when I do, I always, obviously, you know, I run by the toy aisle just to see what's going on, but no, the last time I went was 2 weeks ago, and it looked like a bomb went off in there, you know, it was crap everywhere, and it wasn't even the new setup, I guess you'd call it, with the new...
Yeah, the new set.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me wonder when and if they're going to get theirs then, because my stores have just recently, I could tell that they've reset and with everything. So I think it'll probably within the next few weeks, it'll start filling up because, you know, the ones I've been into, they've already got a lot of their Christmas displays for toys, you know, big pallet displays they throw out in the main aisle. They've got them everywhere. So
yeah,
definitely see some changes here in the next couple of weeks, you know. Christmas comes earlier every year in these stores, so.
Oh, definitely, definitely. We're already starting to see stuff, and it's just the beginning of November, second week or so. So, yeah. But you know what? Like I said, if you guys or if anybody's out there still humming and hawing about this, you're gonna enjoy this line. It's a great line. perfect size, great for posability. It's a little on the pricier side, but I think it's worth it. And they're coming out in a form where you're not, you know, it's four in each wave so far. So we'll see what happens with these other waves. I mean, I think it was wave three or four, Chris. You said there was like six figures you mentioned.
Well, you know, come to find out now, I guess we do need to clear that up.
Okay.
We had mentioned that on the last, I don't know if it was the very last episode or the one before, but one of the, coming out of Toy Fair, one of the sites that I had mentioned, they had posted it up and was saying it was a 6-inch, but it ended up being those were the 3 3/4 inch. What we do have for wave three for the 6-inch, and I've only seen three figures so far. You got, Revenge of the Sith Obi-Wan, Stormtrooper, mm-hmm. and Bespin Luke. The Bespin Luke looks really, really good. The head sculpt kind of, as Mark puts it, kind of looks sad. It kind of looks like he's sad. Mm-hmm. So, but the detailing on it from what I've seen looks great, and so does the Stormtrooper and the Obi-Wan. But that's the only three we've seen. I don't know what the fourth one is. I would think, from what I had heard before, I thought they had said Revenge of the Sith Anakin. So I think we might end up with Anakin and Obi-Wan in that wave, along with the Luke and the Stormtrooper. Because, you know, we didn't have, you know, they had said originally it was going to be 75% OT and 25% prequels. And so far we've only gotten one. You know, wave two is all OT, so.
Right.
They might have just pushed that back so they can put the Anakin and Obi-Wan together in the same wave, which would be nice.
So let's see what happens, man. I tell you what, like I said, great, great line. Really enjoying it. So, next, let's get into, things that make you go, you know. And here's my thing, Chris. I am obviously a huge Darth Vader fan, and I've always wondered, And this is really nothing new in the Star Wars community as well. I've always wondered, you know, did Darth Vader ever fully turn to the dark side of the Force? And let's talk about things that make you go. Things that make you go. Robbie Rob, break it down. All right, Chris. On our podcast, I like to challenge the listeners and you as well, especially you. I like to put you on the spot with my things that make you go, And like I said, this week I'm going to be talking about Vader. And I want to start off with this scene in, at the end of Return of the Jedi. And let's take a quick listen to... So, Chris, we get the end of Return of the Jedi. We get a lot of people's take on this is how Vader was redeemed. And for the casual fan of Star Wars or the someone who goes to watch it, this is where, you know, Lucas says, hey, this is where the change happens. Vader is redeemed by Luke. Now, I've always thought that, you know, did Darth Vader ever really turn to the dark side of the Force? And especially in the prequel trilogy, we get to Revenge of the Sith. And we have a little change of events and some scenes that happen in Revenge of the Sith and some that happen in the OT that just that make you think, God, that's an interesting thing that Vader did or Vader said or Palpatine said. And you go, wow, what's going on here? So I want you guys to take a look or take a listen to this clip from Revenge of the Sith. And it gives you another take on this question I have about Vader turning to the dark side. And check this out. This is Vader. This is a Anakin accepting his new title as Darth Vader.
I have the power. the day of Anakin. Don't let it kill me. I can't hold it any longer. I'm too weak. Anakin! Help me!
I am going to end this once and for all.
You can't. He must stand trial.
He has control of the Senate and the courts. He's too dangerous to be left alive.
I'm too weak. Don't kill me. Please. It's not the Jedi way. He must live. I need him. Please. No.
Do whatever you ask.
Good.
Just help me save Padme's life.
Wow, that's one of the things right there, Chris, that when I first saw that, I go, You know, listen to the clip, and this is not a typical anointance of a Sith apprentice, I don't think. I mean, we've seen... You know, we know that Darth Maul was taken at a very early age and trained in the dark arts and all that. He was groomed. You know, Anakin wasn't groomed from an infant to follow the Sith code. So you listen to Anakin during this, and he's doing this for Padme. He says, just help me save Padme's life. You know, you listen to, and you hear the anguish in his voice, the desperation. You know, he's doing this all for the love of Padme. And, you know, of course, in Anakin's past, we've seen flashes of anger and his weakness and his fear and all that, you know, the suffering. But we've kind of seen that from other Jedi as well. I remember seeing that from Obi-Wan in the Clone Wars when Satine was killed. I mean, you could definitely tell he was fighting something there, you know. And during his fight with Darth Maul, a lot of people say that he kind of tapped into a little bit of his anger at the beginning of that fight. And you can kind of see that. So... Then you fast forward to the original trilogy again, and you get where Darth Vader's put into the armor. He finds out Padme is dead. His anger overpowers him, and then he kind of falls to the dark side. So this is this can't be the typical way a Sith falls. You know what I mean? So finally, we get the hints that Vader may have some reservations of the dark side in the OTU. The scene in The Return of the Jedi where Vader feels the presence of Luke when the Emperor doesn't. Also, when Luke confronts Vader on Endor, and we see the body language of Vader after, you know, Luke leaves, you can see that Vader's just, he's going through all this confusion. He just doesn't know what's going on. So to me, I've always wondered and ultimately feel that Anakin never fully turned to the dark side of the Force. And I know, like I said, this is not necessarily a new concept or something new that I'm making up. I just always thought myself that he never fully turned. And it could be definitely debated either way. Chris, I kind of put you on the spot here. What do you think about Vader? Do you think he ever really fully turned? I mean, there's definitely some things to suggest, yeah, he was fully turned, you know, in A New Hope. Look at him. I mean, he was hunting down, hunting down Jedi had pretty much finished, was done. Death Star was being completed and all that. I mean, there's definitely, you can suggest or argue that he did fully turn. What do you think?
Yeah.
Did I convince you at all with that or no?
Well, you gave me time to think with all the clips, so.
Yeah.
I kind of go back and look at the story of Vader and what we've got, not just from the films, but in the EU. We know that he turned there in Revenge of the Sith because he already lost his mother and he didn't want to go through that again. And he started having visions of, you know, Padme, losing her in childbirth. And so that is what drove him down that wrong path. And I honestly think that if Palpatine wasn't there, mm-hmm. that he could have come back. But when you've got this Sith Lord barking in your ear, standing on your shoulder, constantly telling you the wrong thing, and Anakin is really just, in a way, he's already broken. Mm-hmm. And Palpatine preys on that. And then we see in the comics, in between the films, where, and we saw some of it in the Clone Wars, we saw how Anakin, he hated Tatooine. He hated it because of the memories. He always skated that line of hate because of what had happened to him in the past. And I think also in the EU, in between, that's what Vader was driving on. He was driving on his hate. He wanted to snuff out everything of his past and everything of his existence, so like that would make him feel better. Mm-hmm. And I think that along the time when, like you said, he saw his son. He felt his son when the Emperor didn't. And I think that's when in Empire he kind of started a little bit to, maybe after Empire or closer to Jedi, he started thinking, you know, started thinking more about, well, wait a minute, you know, back then, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a fine line, and it's a, you could argue it either way, like you said, and it's
right.
I think it's just, you know, he was really broken, and he had so much torment inside of him that he was just back and forth and back and forth. And as we could see in Jedi, he was really, really back and forth, especially right. that scene between him and Vader before he goes to see the Emperor, that on that, you know, indoor landing platform. It's just like, oh my gosh, you can really see how Luke is connecting to him, and you can just see that he's clear enough to understand what Luke's saying, but like he says, you don't know the power of the dark side, which basically he's saying, you don't know the power of, that the Emperor has over me, I think.
Yeah, that's an excellent point that he says that, Chris. Like you said, you don't know the power. It's like almost he knows that there's good in him, but the dark side is just so powerful. He just can't find the will to escape it or something like that. Almost like he's just a slave to Palpatine and the dark side. It's just, you know, it's weird. Like he goes through these progressions. Like he turns to the dark side in this weird this ceremony where he's just, all he wants to do is save Padme, and that's the reason he's kind of choosing the dark side, is just so he can save her. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the kind of beginning of the OT where it's been, you know, decades, and he's kind of fallen into this role as being this badass. And then you get to the end of the trilogy where Luke comes back, his family comes back, and then all of a sudden he has reservations about the dark side again. He starts kind of teetering that line again, going back and forth. So that's kind of why I always thought he never really turned.
You know, that's what makes Vader a badass, is his torment inside of him. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's scared to death of him that's around him except the Emperor, because the Emperor has control. So right. For the most part, he has control. But then he realizes there, you know, in Jedi, that he really didn't have complete control once he threw his son in the mix. But
right.
To me, it's just, yeah, he just got all that anger and hate that's, you know what, Yoda was right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Hate leads to suffering, so.
Yeah, that line is never rings true, more so than with Vader. So, yeah, I just wanted to get everybody's take on that.
Interesting choice of a, considering what our main topic is, but.
All right, a little bit of Darth Vader in this week's Things That Make You Go.
Hello there. You're listening to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, an elegant podcast for a more civilized age. You can go about your business. Move along. Move along.
All right, Chris, this week's topic, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite Yoda moments. And again, a few episodes ago, we talked about our overrated characters, and I think I put Yoda in there pretty high. Like,
yes, you did.
Yeah, so again, as with Chewbacca, yeah, there's some things that happened with Yoda that you're kind of questioning, like, was he really the greatest Jedi ever? But I think we can answer some of those questions today with some of our favorite Yoda moments.
I'm looking for a great warrior.
You will learn from Yoda.
the Jedi Master who instructed me.
For 800 years have I trained Jedi. Jedi Master Yoda. You seek Yoda. Do or do not. There is no try. Strong am I with the Force, but not too strong. Twilight is upon me, and so night must fall. That is the way of things. The way of the Force.
Oh, and no more wiser words have been spoken than by Yoda. And we're going to talk about the Jedi Master. Many, many, many people consider to be the greatest Jedi ever. Chris, we got our top five Yoda moments. And I know you have honorable mention, I guess, as well. I got one that I can think of off the hand, too. But why don't you start with your kind of honorable mention Yoda moment?
Okay, this is a 58-second clip, and then I'll explain why. Okay.
Yes.
That is my honorable mention. Probably.
Love that.
It's one of my favorite moments, but it's more visual than it is, you know, what you're playing.
Right.
You've got this Order 66 that starts, just all this mayhem, you know, killing Jedi, and then when they cut to Yoda and he just feels all of it coming down on him to where he just collapses and drops his cane. And then a little bit later on into it, you got these two clones back of, it'll be done. And Yoda is not having any of it. He just clicks one quick move and lops both of their heads off. And I was like, whoa, here we go. So yeah.
Yeah, that was actually one of mine where he actually decapitates the two troopers there. That was just a crazy scene. You know, you kind of didn't really, at first you're like, whoa, you know, how's he going to get out of this? And a really cool Jedi-like move that he does. You're like, whoa, that was awesome. But then that whole scene together was just one of those fantastic scenes from Revenge of the Sith, one of the best scenes ever. And I would also mention that the scene where Yoda and Obi-Wan are mm-hmm. heading to the temple, and Yoda's showing off some of his moves as well. He's throwing his lightsaber around, you know, right through the chest of some of these troopers, and he's jumping around. And that was an awesome clip, too, to see him kind of use his Jedi powers just before we get to the major stuff. So, I would definitely put those two as some of my favorite, or honorable mention, some of my favorite moments. So, good stuff, Chris. I love it. Love it. Let's get to our number five. You want me to start, Chris?
Sure, go right ahead.
All right, I'm going to start you guys off in Revenge of the Sith. Check this out.
I hear a new apprentice you have, Emperor. Or should I call you Darth Sidious?
Master Yoda, you survived.
Surprised?
Your arrogance blinds you, Master Yoda. Now you will experience the full power of the dark side. I have waited my little green friend. At last, the Jedi are no more.
Not if anything to say about it. I at an end, your rule is. And not short enough it was. If so powerful you are, why leave?
You will not stop me. Darth Vader will become more powerful than either of us.
Faith in your new apprentice misplaced, maybe. As is your faith in the dark side of the Force.
Oh, man, you talk about good stuff, Chris. Man, do I love that scene. So many good things happen. I mean, this thing starts off with a great confrontation. You know, Yoda against the Royal Guards. He comes in, throws him, forces him. And, you know, it's just everybody started laughing in the theater. They thought this was great. And everybody got up on their seats. And, you know, oh, boy, you know, this the showdown is happening right now. Let's get ready for some serious Yoda action. And then throughout that whole thing there, you heard it right there, Palpatine's chewing up scenery. Yoda's coming back with the quips of his own. You know, he's talking about not short was his reign, not short enough it was. He says that, you know, and then you get Palpatine trying to kind of skitty out of there because he knows Yoda is pretty tough with the lightsaber. So he's trying to skittle out of there, and then Yoda jumps in, hey, if so confident, why are you leaving? You know, so you get that great combination of a little bit of action there. You got a little bit of great verbal judo going on right there. And then it culminates in that unbelievable scene, unbelievable fight in the Senate. And, God, listen to that again. You just get so pumped up in the music, and it's just one of those scenes where you go, you know, it's fantastic. Love it. My number five. I mean, that's my number five, Chris, is that particular scene with Yoda. What do you think? What's your number five?
My number five, let's see.
I hear a new apprentice you have, Emperor. Or should I call you Darth Sidious?
Are you serious?
Yes, no need to
say one.
No need to play the whole thing, but I mean that is, you're right, that's just fantastic, and I love the fact that he just kind of nonchalantly walks in there, waves his hand, and the two guards go right up against the wall. And yeah, he just, they start the Jedi and Sith smack talk, and I mean, it's fantastic because, you know, Palpatine's real cocky, but yet he tries to run. That's what gets me. It's just like, well, why are you trying to, he's a little bitty green dude and you're running from me. He knows how powerful he is. And I love that Palpatine calls him my little green friend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. And then they get on and they start fight. Just a great fight scene, intercut between that and Obi-Wan and Anakin. And I mean, to me, Yoda had him beat at a point, but he couldn't finish it. But
yeah, there's a lot of you know, people talking about. I've heard Star Wars fans in the community talk about that particular fight, and you know, who had the upper hand? Did Yoda? Did Palpatine? I guess you'd kind of argue both sides, but you're right. We don't know what each other has, Chris. So this is crazy that we had our number five was the exact same one. Interesting. Yeah. So we're on the same page already. What? Oh, man, just a fantastic scene, though, of course. Number four for me, I'm going to take you guys to the first time. Let's go to Empire Strikes Back and this great, great opening scene with Yoda.
Like we're being watched.
Away with your weapon! I mean you no harm. I am wondering, why are you here?
I'm looking for someone.
Looking? Found someone you have, I would say. Hmm?
Ship out we would, but we can't.
Right.
Why don't you just
get your ship out? Help you,
hey,
I guess.
Get out of there!
Yes.
I don't think so.
Hey, you could have broken
for Greg Warrior.
Don't do that.
Slimy, my home this is.
Archie, let him have it. R2! Move along, little fellow. We got a lot of work to do.
No. Can't help you, I will. Find your friend?
I'm not looking for a friend. I'm looking for a Jedi Master.
Jedi Master? Yoda. You seek Yoda.
You know him?
Take it to him, I will. Yes, but now, let's eat. Come.
Oh, I've always loved the first introduction of Yoda, Chris, and then here it is right here. And you know what's really cool about this and what I loved about it was this is our introduction, right? I mean, you're watching The Empire Strikes Back, and you already know that he's supposed to go to Dagobah, and he's supposed to find this great warrior. And the first time, I remember as a kid watching this going, how, you know, I can't wait to see this great warrior. You know, I'm thinking I'm going to see this 8 foot tall Jedi master, you know, fully engulfed in this gray outfit, you know, lightsaber practicing or whatever. And, you know, that's what I got in my 10-year-old mind or whatever, you know, looking for the, and then to see this little funny character come in and you're thinking, oh, here's just a little creature that's going to provide a little comedy relief until we get to the Jedi master that is Yoda. And he's so funny in this. He's banging around stuff. He's throwing things. He's eating things. He's banging on R2, and he's trying to, you know, just a really actually a funny comedic scene with Yoda. And then you find out who he really is, and you're like, what? You know, you're kind of blown away. You're like, no way did we ever think that this little dude would be the Jedi Master Yoda. And from then on, you're just kind of like, whoa, and you're sucked into this character right from there. And then, obviously, the great performances, not only by Hamill acting off of him, but the puppeteering and the voice and the whole nine yards. It's just, you know, Frank Oz doing his thing. The first time we see Yoda, that's one of my favorite moments, is that little scene there, a little comedic relief there from Yoda. Chris. Number four for you. You probably didn't have that on your list.
Okay, that's not number four. No.
Okay.
We're actually different now. So this is a 1-minute and 4-second clip.
Powerful you have become, Dooku. The dark side I sense in you.
I've become more powerful than any Jedi. Even you.
Still have.
It is obvious that this contest cannot be decided by our knowledge of the Force, but by our skills with a lightsaber.
For me, awesome. It's this particular. I know that to me this should be higher up on my list, but I got to put it at number four. It's just to me, it's so fantastic. We actually, you know, going into this movie, we knew because Rick McCollum had said you get to see Yoda fight, so we knew we were going to get a fight, and it was just so awesome the way he strolls in there, real quietly, just you know. Kind of, you know, like he's old, all this old coming in here. And for him to just do that Wild West thing, pulls his cloak back and sucks the lightsaber and spins it, turns it on, and then just proceeds to whip Count Dooku's butt before Dooku gets away. But
I agree with that.
You know, I think it was just, fantastic because the way they did it. It wasn't too overdone and it wasn't enough. It was just right. So, yeah, I mean, it's just fantastic. I always get jazzed seeing him walk in there. And
oh, yeah.
And I always thought that was so cool. He's throwing all this lightning at him, and Yoda just, you know, at first he deflected it, and then the second time he just absorbs it.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh, this is fantastic.
Showing you some true force power. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, I gotta echo those comments. You know, I'll wait and I'll save that for a little later. It's obviously a little bit higher on my list. I'll take you to my number three now. I'm gonna take you guys to the Clone Wars animated series. Check this out.
Come. Sit. Your helmets. Remove them. Your faces I wish to see.
There's not much to look at here, sir. We all share the same face.
Deceive you, Eyescare. In the Force, very different each one of you are. Reese, always focused on the enemy, are you? For inspiration, look to yourself and those beside you. Concerned about weapons you are. Weapons do not win battles. Your mind, powerful it is. Outthink the droids, you can. Thyre, rush not into fights. Long is the war. Only by surviving it will you prevail. Yes. Clones, you may be. But the Force resides in all life forms. Use it you can. To quiet your mind.
And this is the Clone Wars. Like I said, Chris, one of the reasons I love this, I mean, this was like, to me, this was a game changer. And I came into the Clone Wars animated series about five episodes in. I had DVR'd them. And I thought, oh, I'll watch those when I get to it. But the first time seeing this ambush, like I said, this was a game changer. I mean, here's an animated show that decided to take you a little bit deeper into things, you know? And there's so many nice little touches on this particular one. This is actually Ambush in 2008, if anybody doesn't know. Yoda is joined on his mission by a very small troop of clone troopers. And, you know, they're kind of the grunts. They're in the trenches. And this beautiful scene where he brings them in. And he sits them down, and he has them all take off their helmets, and they comment, you know, like, we're all the same, you know, Yoda's. And he goes, no. Hold on a second, guys. You know, this is how the Force works. The Force is in all of us. And he goes through each particular clone trooper, and he goes, hey, you know, you need to start using your mind. Think of, you know, use your mind instead of using your gun. You know, each one he kind of addresses individually. Kind of gives them a little lesson right there. And everybody was talking about this episode when it aired, like, whoa, that was great. You know, this is a great episode. And like I said, this was the game changer for the Clone Wars. This is when everybody took notice of this quote unquote cartoon and go, whoa, wait a minute. You know, this is not just your typical Scooby-Doo type thing. This is a show that's going to go deep and get into some deep and dark places. And Ambush is the one that kicked it off in a great, great moment with Yoda. So that would be my number three, Chris. Ambush, yeah. The opening to the Clone Wars animated series.
Excellent choice.
Yeah,
I didn't pick anything from the Clone Wars. I really didn't think much about the Clone Wars. But, I mean, you're absolutely right. We got the movie.
Yeah.
And then the very first aired episode was this. And I remember watching this first episode, and I was just like, they nailed it. That is Empire Strikes Back Yoda right there.
He
had his little quirky, goopy laughing that he was doing, and that particular scene just set the tone. I mean, it told you exactly, it introduced young kids to Yoda and exactly what Yoda was about and what he will always be about. He said, yeah, you might all look the same, but in the Force, each one of you are different. And I like that because he points out what their strong suit was,
right?
And then he kind of gives them a little bit of some help and say, hey, focus on this a little more. And they respond by learning. And you see later in the episode that they actually use what he told them and which was fantastic because, I mean, you know, it's an animated show and it's got to be a lesson
right,
involved
right.
with it. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic. Great choice.
Yeah, and, you know, you see in the apparently in the Rebels, they're going to start going to Stormtroopers because the Clone Troopers were just too much of free thinkers. And this is kind of the beginning of right here when Yoda told them, hey, you guys can think for yourselves. You don't have to be just clones. Just do the robotic thing. So, yeah, really great and poignant episode in the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. Number three for you, Chris. Where are you going to take us?
Okay, number three. Let's take a listen. This is 1 minute, 16 seconds.
Something familiar about this place. I don't know. I feel like...
like we're being watched.
Oh, hey, put your weapon. I mean you no harm. I am wondering, why are you here?
I'm looking for someone.
Looking? Found someone you have, I would say.
Right.
Help you, I can. Yes.
I don't think so. I'm looking for a great warrior.
Oh! Great warrior? Wars not make one great.
Put that down. Now we... Hey! It's my dinner.
How you get so big eating food of this kind?
Listen, friend, we didn't mean to land in that puddle, and if we could get our ship out, we would, but we can't, so why don't you just...
Cannot get your ship out.
Hey, get out of there.
No!
We're back together again. Yep,
back together. I just, like you said, at 10 years old, sitting in a movie theater watching this movie, and Obi-Wan tells him he has to go meet Yoda, and, you know, us not knowing what we're going to see, and this little guy comes up, and he's like, ah, cool, funny, you know, he's a great, goopy little character, and then you find out, oh, he's the master. Mm-hmm. It's just such fantastic. It was so funny. As a 10-year-old, it still is to me, seeing this scene. And Luke, when he sees Yoda first, he's just thinking, okay, who is this nutball or whatever? You know, he doesn't see anything in it. He's kind of prejudiced in a way. He's, you know, oh, this thing can't be what I'm looking for. You know, and he's just wanting him to get away because he's annoying him. Really funny yeah. scene. Grabbing his food, nibbling on the food, and then, oh, how can you eat this crap? Throws it away. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Just love it.
Yeah, you know what? I just thought this, too, because you said something here. It was almost, I wonder, if Yoda was giving Luke a test, like, you know, can Luke see someone like him as a Jedi Master? You know, I think Luke was thinking the same thing that all of us that were watching it at 10 years old or whatever, however old you were in 1980, you know, you were to dismiss this funny little green dude and just think in your mind, there's no way. This is where, you know, appearance doesn't always relate to your abilities and all that. So, you know, I think to myself sometimes, you know, was that a little test for Yoda just to see where Luke was, like, yeah. you know, could he see me as a Jedi Master, or is he just going to look at me as a creature and an annoyance and push me to the side?
Yeah, to see, yeah. I guess to see where he's at, because, let's face it, we don't see it, but you know, Yoda knows who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure yeah. Obi-Wan, they talked, and it was time for him to go there, and as usual, Luke's got to see where Yoda's got to see where Luke's at, so give him the test. And
yeah,
he failed
it. Yeah, a little mini test, you know. He's going to go through some really crazy stuff in the next, you know, coming months of his Jedi training. So why not start off just to see where his mind's at? And nice little trick by Yoda, and it tricked us all, as a matter of fact. Number two for me, Chris, you already played it. It's a great, you know, just one of those scenes where I'll always remember watching this and where I was and the time I saw it and with the people I saw this particular scene with Yoda.
Master Yoda.
Count Dooku.
You have interfered with our affairs for the last time.
I therefore you have become Dooku. The dark side I sense in you.
I've become more powerful than any Jedi. Even you.
Much to learn you still have.
It is obvious that this contest cannot be decided by our knowledge of the Force, but by our skills with a lightsaber.
Oh, yes. Like I said, I remember the day, I remember watching this in the theater, the first time you see Yoda with the lightsaber, and just the whole beginning of it. I mean, the moment that Yoda opens his cloak and takes out his lightsaber using the Force, we know we're in for something special. And everybody got up on their seats when that, the crowd was going crazy, hooping and hollering. It was just one of those moments, you know, just a Star Wars moment. And you get those when you see him in the theater with other Star Wars fans. And we're so used to Yoda being, you know, relatively immobile. So seeing him jumping around, you know, like Sonic the Hedgehog or whatever, you know, it just you jump out of your seat. You're shouting, yes, you know, this is what you wanted to see forever. You know, you heard about Yoda being this Jedi Master, and you're like, are we ever going to see this, you know? And sure enough, episode 2, Lucas delivers with some just, like I said, I think even like the beginning of that portion more than the actual fight. Just seeing Yoda stroll in and the camera kind of is on him and he drops that cane and you're like, oh snap, it's on now, you know, and the rest is history. But definitely a top moment. Just Not only just seeing the movie and what they did, but just as a fan and my own personal memories of watching that in the theater, just definitely top Yoda moment. And that's my number 2. And you already had that on your list, Chris. So yep. Number 2, what do you got?
All right, here's my number 2, 46 seconds long.
Master Yoda. Is Darth Vader my father?
Rest thy need. Yes. Rest.
Yoda, I must know.
Your father he is. Told you, did he?
Unexpected this is. It's still, this is just such an awesome sequence to see Master Yoda finally, I mean, seem frail.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, kind of, not really giving up, but it feels like, you know, he's given up, but he's 900 years old. It's time for him to move on and to finally get that answer. Is Darth Vader his father? Yes, he is. It's just a fantastic scene. It's so heartbreaking when he finally disappears. It's just like he just, you know, leaves.
Yeah. You know, that would be actually an honorable mention for me as well. That was one of those scenes where, I mean, look at this new footage that just came out. I mean, a totally different take on that particular scene, and they decided to go this route, which I think turned out obviously for the best, but a really, really great moment. And you're kind of shocked the first time you see Return of the Jedi because, you know, he was in Empire. He seemed like everything was fine. You know, this isn't, you know, another 300 plus years away. This is only just a few years. And I think, I don't know if it was the fact that he thought Luke was just about there and he was kind of just staying alive as long as he could, until he can kind of give Luke some final instructions to get him trained as much as he could to where he think mm-hmm. he could challenge Vader. And then finally he finally got let go. You know how some people, maybe you listening have family members that, or animals or whatever that kind of just hang around Not hang around. This sounds... I don't want to make it sound bad, but... You know what I'm saying? Like, they hang around. They survive. They have this will to live until...
They're not finished.
Yeah, exactly. This particular will to where they want to stay alive just to be able to pass something on or see somebody or whatever the case may be. But I think that's the same thing that happened here with Chris with Yoda, is he has this will to live as long as he can to see this prophecy ultimately get fulfilled. And it's Luke finally coming back to him, and he says, no, you know, this is your time now. And he finally goes into the forest, and he can do that. So really powerful scene, though. Love it, love it.
yes.
Go ahead. You have more comments?
No. I was going to say, well, now we're up to your number one.
Yeah, number one. This is this is one where we could be on the same page, Chris, so we'll find out. But definitely my top moment with Yoda here in Empire Strikes Back.
I can't. It's too big.
Size matters not. Look at me. Does me by my size, do you? And where you should not. For my ally is the Force. And a powerful ally it is. Life creates it. Makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us. And binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you. Here. Between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere. Yes. Even between the land and the ship.
You want the impossible.
The Empire Strikes Back, Chris, is one of the few instances in Hollywood where a sequel outdid its predecessor. And, you know, one of the main reasons, of course, is the addition of Yoda, who is responsible for several of the film's memorable moments, both comedic, like we talked about earlier here, and dramatic. And he's, like we said before, he's the last guy you'd expect to be a Jedi Master. But that's kind of the point. You know, Lucas is illustrating that you didn't need to be a great warrior in order to be powerful. And something, you know, a lot of people think the prequels kind of fell short on that. But the Force wasn't really about physical strength. It's about your spiritual strength in the Force. And here's where Luke says the last comments here. Check this out.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail.
So we get this great, and it finishes up there, and just such a powerful scene, you know. This is here's Luke attempting to lift the X-Wing, and he can't do it. And, you know, he says it's too big, and then Yoda scolds him, and, you know, he monologues here about the whole Force, and you're just like, wow. He's explaining the Force to us, you know, and luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. And, you know, he's pinching Luke's shoulder, and just that whole scene is fantastic, and it's a serious scene. It's a dramatic scene. You know, we saw Yoda in all these comedic moments, and then right away, and you get to this scene, and one of the best scenes of the saga. You know, not just Yoda here, Chris, the saga. So, my top Yoda moment. I don't know if that was on your list. Is that your number one too?
Well, let's see.
Okay.
I can't. It's too big.
Size matters not.
Yes, that was my number one as well. It's just, you know, what we had talked about earlier, the first time we meet Yoda, you get that quirky goofiness, and then he, in the hut, you get him, all of a sudden he realizes who he is, and he gets more serious. And then you get that moment where Luke is, I'm not afraid. And that look on his face when he's, you will be. You will be. Yeah, I'm fixing to run your butt through the ringer, boy. You know. But to get to this point where he's been teaching him and teaching him and teaching him, and Luke's not getting it. And like that, you know, that's just Mark played that fantastic. He's just like, I can't, it's too big. And then he just starts telling him. That little sequence right there, he just telling him like it is. And, how can Luke argue? Luke can't argue that fact because he says, look at me. You know, look at my size. And for him to sit there and pull that whole X-Wing out with no effort at all, set it down. And then, fantastic, that last line. He says, I can't believe it. He just, that's why you fail.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, which is true. It's true in life. If you can't believe that you can do something, you can't see yourself doing it, you're not going to be able to do it. It's not going to work. And, I have taken so much from Yoda in Empire, you know, and some people might think that's really weird, but us Star Wars fans, no, we understand he is preaching.
Oh, yeah. Preach, my little green friend. Preach it. That you said it, Chris, you know, your Luke right there was learning the most important Jedi lesson of all. You need to believe in the Force in order to control it and have it be your ally. And that was the message Yoda was trying to get across, and definitely a top moment. Both of our favorite moments. So there you go, folks.
And to see Luke through the rest of Empire and how he, you know, he doesn't do what he's told. He goes to Vader, gets his butt beat badly, and he ends the movie on a somewhat of a downer. He's kind of picked up a little bit after he got his hand there at the end. But then when you get to Jedi, you see, oh, he's got it. Mm-hmm. You understand he does have that because Han doesn't believe in it, but you can see that he does. And he's not interested necessarily in, he's not going to make Han understand it. He's just going, all right, that's what Han believes. And Han actually learns to believe it because of what Luke does. So,
right.
Yeah, fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, we're on the same page there. How did that match up with you listeners? Did we convince you at all in our top five? Did those top five fall into your top five? That'd be great if you let us know. But that is your top five Yoda moments from the Sarlacc Pit podcast. Chris, that's going to do it for this week, my friend. We got to mention a couple things before we go, where you can contact us and some of our Facebook pages. Go ahead.
All right. You can contact us at email at podcast@galacticbinder.com. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/Sarlacc Pit Podcast. And our Big Daddy page.
Yeah.
facebook.com/Classic Star Wars, where at this very moment, we are over 146,000 likes. This page just keeps growing and growing. We're having so much fun with this page. And we're getting so much feedback from the fans, people that love it just like we do. All kinds of great stuff. So if you haven't checked out that page, please do jump over there and check it out. So much great stuff we got going on that page.
Oh, yeah. I love it every day. Always something new and exciting going on at the Star Wars page, or the Classic Star Wars page. But, yeah, you know, definitely get in touch with us as well. If you want to send us some email, send us some audio stuff, go ahead and do that. Sarlacc Pit Podcast. You can find us on Google. Just search Sarlacc Pit Podcast. You'll see all our stuff there, the webpage, the Galactic Binder podcast pages out there too. If you want to leave us a iTunes review, you know, whatever you can, you don't have to, no big deal. You know, we'd rather have you focus your attention on maybe writing us with some questions or anything you want to talk about. So definitely look us up, and also Classic Star Wars. So other than that, anything else, Chris, before we go?
I think that's it.
All right.
Look forward to us in our next show.
Yeah, definitely. We'll see you guys. And again, thank you for making us part of your Star Wars day. For Chris, my name is Matt. We will see you guys next time in the Sarlacc Pit. All right, man.
All right. Well,
I'm going to go buy myself a laser disc in a minute here.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com.